we are all here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of our soul. This is the 14th week of Pentecost, after Pentecost, and we journey in our text, a continuation from last week, with the question that Jesus asked Peter, "Who am I?" So come, let us prepare our hearts for worship. I invite you all now to stand if you are able, knowing that if you're not able, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, whose words never fail, whose promise is sure.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of our neighbor. Merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
Righteous God,
we confess that we have sinned. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
God is a cup of cold water when we thirst. God offers boundless grace when we fail. Claim the gift of God's mercy. You are free and forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Spirit.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Here's my favorite one, a surfboard.
No one's hands are raised. No one's claiming to be a surfboard. But now let's going to get in a few difficult ones here. Are you the grade you just got? The grade in school you just got. For some of our kids, it might be last year's grade. They haven't got grades yet. But are you the grade in school you just got? Everyone's again saying no. Are you maybe the last mistake you made?
No.
Everyone makes mistakes, but that's not who you are. What about on the other side of that? Are you the good thing you just did? Hopefully our young ones have done some good things to the brothers and sisters, but yet they are not one of those good things. That's not who they are. So now let's see if I can catch a few things right. Who here is one of a kind? Now we finally get some hands going up. One of a kind, unique, no one else like you. Are you a child of God? That's who you are, and we can pin this now on ourselves. And finally, you are, I am a beloved of God. All of our hands should go up, because we are all beloved of God. You see, we're not our shoes, we're not our mistakes, we're not our things. And Peter learns this lesson today, where he is focusing on the things of Jesus, and Jesus tells him, no, you are not those things, but you are the beloved of God. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after you. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that I am unique. Thank you that I matter.
Thank you that I matter.
That I'm loved. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, starting with verse 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. For forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insults. Found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy, the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the weight of your hand, and I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing? My wound incurable, refusing to be healed. Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me if you utter what is precious and not what is worthless. You shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 26. You will find it on page 4 of your bulletin, and we will read it responsively. If judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity, I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go into procession around your altar.
Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Undo to one another in showing honor. Do not lack in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble inside of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turned around and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind on not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So when my oldest son was born and was an infant, we went out and we got him that ever of so special object, the stuffed animal. And his was a little stuffed animal elephant. And of course, you chew on the ears or the nose. And our friends, furry friends, when we are little, they are our symbol of security and love long after the parents have left the bedroom. Their friend remains. Their identity as a child is wrapped up in that identity of their object. And about that same time, there is another object a new parent needs, and that is the ever so important stroller. Now, at the time, I was young in seminary, and I figured I'd get a jogging stroller because that's a cool stroller. Now, mind you, I didn't jog at the time, but I figured if I got the jogging stroller, I would jog. So keep in mind, that's going to be important later. Jogging strollers, of course, aren't surrounded on all four. The child sits kind of upright, and it's the frontal view to everything. There's no protection there. So with that being said, new stroller, new child. I wanted a day off. We wanted to go out, and outside Philadelphia, where I was in seminary at, was the second largest mall in America. What a great opportunity. Back then, that's when malls were really popular, or Amazon. So we went to the mall, we got Jacob out, strapped him into his jogging stroller, little stuffed animal elephant in his arm, and off in we go. Now, if you're paying attention, you know how the story ends. Well, of course, we spent the day, we got back, and of course, when we went to put Jacob back in his high chair, the elephant had been dropped somewhere. And I felt really, really bad because in the back of my head, I thought this was going to happen. And so it was scanning the ground, and of course, it never felt it fell when I was looking. So I decided at that point that I was going to retrace every step I took in that mall to find this elephant. And so I took off on a jog, and that's when I realized I should have been jogging previously. But it's a happy story because I ended up, did find his elephant. And we got him home, safe and sound. He was too young to ever know, so he never knew he lost it. But that night, I stayed up really late with this burning question. What happens next time? What happens when he drops it and I can't find it for him? And so I devised my own plan for that. I went back to the store that I bought this elephant from. And as a testimony to how well I trusted myself, I bought 10 of them. So we always have an elephant, right? And then became this long, great deception. For every couple of days, I would switch out the elephant he had for the elephant So that way they would all wear at the same time, they'd all have the same amount of slobber on them, they'd all have the same amount of dirt. Whenever it was time to wash them, they all went into the wash together, so there would be no elephant that could be distinguished from the next. And so this deception worked for a great while, until of course he started to crawl and get into everything, and I was in the other room working, and I heard some commotion, I heard things being moved, and I thought, oh, he's entertaining himself, how wonderful. And then the scream of unadulterated joy came, I heard, and laughter upon laughter upon laughter, this little child. And again I said, I have done good. You self-entertained. But I also started to get curious on what in the world he was actually doing in there. So I came into the room, and there he was. He had found this box in the high end of the closet, and there he was, surrounded by these 11 stuffed elephants in this massive cuddle pile, all playing and laughing together. They had a new family now. So now, when we went to the mall, I no longer had to worry about one elephant falling, but 11. But our children are like that. They have that toy that is so special to them, that's part of who they are. Their identity is wound up in that object. And we all had that object probably when we were that small, that object that told us we were safe and we were loved and we were part of that. That was our life. Until, of course, what? We got a little bit older and we realized that this is a childish thing. So our children, as they develop a sense of identity, they put this childish thing away in a box. It goes on the shelf, eventually to the Goodwill or the garage sale. We're no longer things. The child understands this. I'm not this teddy bear. I am not this blanket. I am my own thing. Or at least that is the myth we tell ourselves, right? Because as soon as that teddy bear is on the shelf, we immediately start and turn into all these other things that become me, like fame, possessions, accomplishments, success. And we tell ourselves that we are these things. We are the sum total of our possessions, our successes. Or we turn on the opposite end to our failures, our lack of things, and we say, I am nothing because I don't have this. So whether you have it or you don't have it, we measure ourselves by what is around us. And in our theology and our faith, we call these things the false self. These things that are not real. At least not real to you in who you are. These are your false self. And our text today may be unpopular, but Jesus is pretty clear what happens with all these false things in our lives. They all go to Jerusalem. They all suffer. They all die. None of us leaves this world with our possessions. None of us leaves this world with our successes. These things that we think so highly of ourselves are not you. So you're not your shoes. You're not your mistakes. You are not your failures. And this is the trap Peter gets in, right? He got A+ last week on figuring out who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And now Peter assumes what life will be now that the Christ is there. The Christ will destroy Rome, establish a new kingdom, and here is Peter as a CEO of the new kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to have money and power and fame and success. He's going to have a lot of false self to himself. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me. You are no longer following me because you are focusing on earthly things. And so the opposite of the false self is the true self. And that is who you are inside of you, in that part that is held safe in the arms of Christ, in the heart of God. That true self that is not your stuff, is not your mistakes, is not your successes, your true self. And the problem with the world is it is so loud telling us about to be all these false things that we might never hear who we truly are and get to know who we truly are, the God, the truly us part that God knows. And that is what our text is about today. To know that you are not these things, but you are this thing. And what you are of most is precious and unique and loved of God. The false self will go to Jerusalem, will suffer, will die. But the true self will rise again on the third day. These are the four musts. We must do all these things. And so, with faith, we cling to this fact that this true self of ours is love of God, held close in the arms of Christ, held safe in the heart of God. And our true selves will go on in love, and into eternity of with God. And so if there's any challenge today, it's to live into that knowledge that we are not our stuff, but we are blessed, beloved, claimed, and named, beloved of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Remembering the caring and the generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. God of life, your words are the joy at the heart of your church. Draw the seeker to you. Place messages of hope and healing in the mouth of your witnesses, and open your children to your truth when we stumble. God, merciful God, receive our prayer. God of steadfast love, renew the earth by your spirit, that lands and oceans reveal the beauty of your creation. Challenge us to live humbly and peaceably as part of your world. Merciful God.
Your mercy is great.
God of patience, lead those who govern to hold fast to what is good. Guide them to show honor to the people in their care. Overcome evil in all nations and grant peace to peoples and places mired in conflict. Merciful God.
Your mercy is great.
God of deliverance, remember all people who are suffering, lonely, and in pain. Liberate your people being insulted, persecuted, or in the grasp of the ruthless. Give endurance to workers who persevere on this Labor Day and ensure fair wages and safe working environments. Today we pray especially for Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Marcia, Paul, the victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, people of Furlan Lutheran Church in Lebanon and St. Timothy Church, flooding in Vermont, fires in Maui, and the hurricane in Florida. Merciful God.
Your mercy is great.
God of justice, equip this congregation to boldly follow you in uncertain times and to remain faithful in prayer when facing challenges. Show us how best to love and care for one another and our communities. Merciful God.
Your mercy is great.
God of glory, we give thanks for the saints who now dwell with you in splendor. Nurture us in faith until the day we join their heavenly song. Merciful God,
your mercy is great.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known to Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite you now to all stand as we prepare for our meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord God of power and God of might,
gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember his life laid down and lifted up, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Send your Holy Spirit upon us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless us to be a blessing. Make us a sign of your faithfulness. Send us to tend and cherish the earth and to serve the world with mercy and love. With all the saints in light, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God. Through Christ Jesus, in your spirit,
together as one by the Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome to come forward and receive the gifts of this table. In a moment, the usher will come. It will start on this side, and then on this side. We ask you to come forward with your hand outstretched, and you will receive the element of bread in your hand, and then come to the station holding the wine. We ask that you reach in. Take either the red liquid, which is wine, or the clear liquid, which is grape juice. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, we ask you to come with your arms folded. But know that all who come forward will receive the gifts of God, for they are for all. Amen.
Take away the sin.
sustenance we have received at this table. Send us now to spread your love into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We take a moment now for announcements. Arnie will be in the back with the microphone. If you have an announcement, just raise your hand and we'll come.
I'd like to thank everyone who donated money to buy gift cards for the children who live at Samaritan House. Peggy told me we'd raised $750, plus someone threw a gift card in the donation basket. So I went to Walmart on Wednesday and bought the $25 gift cards, managed to lock up three credit cards doing that. Definitely don't use your credit cards for 30 gift cards because it's considered a security fraud or something. Anyway, but I got it done with my debit card and went over to Samaritan House, and Sherry had contracts ready for all the parents that they would sign that said that the money would only be used for clothing and shoes for the children, and they were willing to turn in receipts. So I wanted you to know that the money that we've donated is putting 11 children from Samaritan House back to school on Tuesday with some new clothes and shoes, and I thank you.
The church is hosting the Red Cross Blood Drive on the 22nd of September, so I need help with people to be in the canteen, to register people, and I need the treats from the church because everybody looks forward to coming here for the treats. Thanks.
Sammy.
Okay. I just wanted to remind everyone that we will have choir practice today from 11:45 to 12:30. So come and bring your lovely voices.
Here's Rhonda. Rhonda's got an announcement.
The baseball caps have arrived. See me after church if you signed up previously, and we'll hand them out. Peace Village is back this year. Bob Riggs will be taking care of the lead of that, and they have a steering committee put together, so let me know, and I'll put you in touch with Bob Riggs. And Burroughs House is needing a lot of landscaping, and Dan Moore is facilitating the outreach to do this job today at 2 o'clock. So everybody come and help us get this taken care of. Thank you.
And just two brief announcements for myself. On Thursdays, released through September, we will be walking on the beach, leaving at church at 1 o'clock. So if you'd like an opportunity to meet with me and potentially a group, potentially no one else, who knows who shows up, it's very random. It's a different setting. If you want some questions or dialogue or meet people, we invite you, anyone to come to church Thursday at 1 o'clock, and then we will go to an appropriate beach after that. And then finally, we are going to start a book club at Atonement, and if you're interested in being a part of that, we will meet at 11 a.m. on the fourth Tuesday of the month. This month we are reading a book called What We Talk About When We Talk About God from Rob Bell. It's a great book. I invite anyone who wishes to be part of that to contact me and come and join in a great discussion on the book. That being said, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you now and until the end of the age.
Amen.
Thank you. my question